Greetings, I'm on the phone today with Dr. Sarah Seeger, a professor of planetary science and physics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Sarah is a leading expert in the study of extrasolar planets, and she is author of our cover story in the October 2010 issue, The Hunt for Super Earths. Sarah, thanks for taking time out from your busy schedule to be interviewed for a Sky and Telescope podcast.
It's great to talk to you today.
Now, I know that you're a member of the science team for NASA's Kepler mission. What's the current status of this mission, and how many planets has it found so far?
Kepler is doing fantastically well. It's in an Earth-trailing orbit millions and millions of miles from Earth, staring at the same field of stars in the sky. Kepler has found 5 planets. And it actually has 700 planet candidates. Those are signatures that might be planets, but they may also be false positives. So the team is actually very busy now trying to understand which of those might be real planets and which are just astrophysical false positives.
So I would think that of those 700 candidates, a lot of them, you know, maybe several hundred of them at least, will turn out to be planets. Is that a reasonable expectation?
Well, the Kepler team has said in one of their publications that about 50% might be false positives, but it's going to be a long time before we can estimate the false positive rate. I should add that just over 300 of those planet candidates have been, the light curves are released to the public already.
And obviously Kepler's been up for about a year and a half now. It's going to look over several years, so I would think that there are going to be many, many more planets to come in the next few years.
There will be more planets. How many is not entirely clear. You have to remember that for transiting planets, there's a really big selection effect for planets orbiting close to the star. We'll have many more planets close to the star. So there'll be fewer further away, and those further away ones are the ones that we'll start finding more of as the years go by.
Now, in your article, you talk about these super Earths, planets that are defined as having roughly 1 to 10 times the mass of Earth. And a question I was wondering is, would a super Earth form in the same way that Earth does? And why would some systems, like the systems around Gliese 581 and HD 40307, have multiple super Earths, at least 3 in those two cases, and our solar system doesn't have any?
Colliding with each other. Some people believe that over about 10 Earth mass, the planet gets so massive that it's able to capture gas from its surroundings and have a runaway growth into a giant planet. So this 10 Earth mass cutoff, it's kind of an arbitrary number. We have to wait to get lots of observations to see if that's a real number or just an arbitrary cutoff. We do not really know why our solar system does not have super Earths, but another, like GJ 581, has 3 super Earths. It may be related to the mass of the disk. Perhaps the disk around that M star had more massive material. We're not certain at this point.
And what do you think of the prospects for finding more super Earths relatively close to Earth? I know that Kepler is mainly looking at stars very, very distant from the solar system, but do you think that these radial velocity surveys and transit searches might actually turn up more super Earths that are relatively close to the Sun in the next few years?
Astronomers are working as hard as possible to find super-Earths around nearby stars. There are people doing radial velocity surveys, transit surveys, and so if they're common, yes, there will be many more announced in the coming years.
And you talked, too, in the article about the fact that super-Earths probably have this tremendous diversity of properties. And I'm assuming you're talking about internal structures, compositions, atmospheres. Some are close to their stars. Some are going to be much farther from their host stars. Is that all correct? And that we really should expect to find this really interesting variety of planets in the coming years?
We definitely expect variety. And in fact, in exoplanets now, we definitely expect variety. And we already see variety in the giant planets. We see that the so-called hot Jupiters, they span quite a range of radii and masses. Super-Earths are even different. The reason super-Earths have even more chance for variety is that the hot Jupiters are dominated by hydrogen and helium. But there's more types of materials that super-Earths can be made out of. But we really just have to wait for the observations to see just how different super-Earths can be from each other.
What are the prospects of finding super-Earths in the habitable zones of stars? Talked a minute ago about looking for super-Earths around relatively nearby stars. What are the prospects for finding super-Earths? We found a couple that are kind of close to the habitable zone, but you mentioned not quite in the habitable zone.
The prospects for finding super-Earths in the habitable zone is very high. And that's because people are looking and pushing technology as far as it can go. Let's start with M-stars, low luminosity stars. Radial velocity and transit searches are looking just for those very planets. So that is a big effort that's going forward. If they're there, and if the observers can survey enough stars, they will find them. Let's turn to sun-like stars. That's much more tricky. But there is one of our favorite stars in the sky, Alpha Centauri, A and B. And it turns out that there are three groups around the world who are independently monitoring Alpha Centauri B, looking for a super-Earth in the habitable zone of that star. They will need a few years of data, but they're trying. So there are many efforts underway. Everybody's pushing towards this idea of finding super-Earths or Earths in habitable zones. It's really just a matter of time until some are discovered, if they are out there.
We've talked in this article mostly about planets that are a little bit bigger than Earth. I would imagine that astronomers eventually are going to be pushing this technology, and certainly with Kepler's tremendous capabilities, that we're not that far away from finding planets that are the size of Earth or maybe even a little bit smaller than Earth, things like Venus, Mars, and Mercury.
Correct. We'd love to find those smaller planets, and Kepler is capable of finding smaller planets, Earth-sized planets out to an Earth-like orbit, and smaller planets perhaps even down to the size of Mercury, very close to the star.
Yeah, that would be very, very exciting. And I know that radial velocity surveys, one of the interesting findings is that even though radial velocity surveys are more sensitive to higher mass planets, these surveys are finding that as you go lower and lower in mass, planets are becoming more and more common, even though they're harder to find. So I would think that this trend probably extends all the way down to very small planets, and that our solar system is clearly not giving us a totally complete picture of all the planet, the population of planets that exists in our galaxy.
It's correct. The radial velocity data does hint to a higher population of low-mass planets than the sort of intermediate-mass planets, around 20 Earth, 30, 40, 50 Earth masses. That's something that we're all watching closely to see what pans out with the data. In contrast, to be excited about finding lower and lower mass planets, you know, I also have this interest in finding a massive super-Earth. What if you can find planets that are 15 or 20 Earth masses that are made entirely of rock, like a monster rock planet? I think this would be really interesting and would put some holes in planet formation theory. So we're actually excited about the whole range that is out there.
Right, and I have a feeling that we're going to, as you were just saying, we're going to find planets out there that are completely out of the realm of what theorists expect. I remember a few years ago they found a transiting planet with something like 60 or 70 times the mass of Earth in the form of heavy element, like rock and iron. I mean, I guess that planet is so incredibly different from anything we have in the solar system, so I would expect that we're just tipping the tip of the iceberg of the type of planets that exist out there.
I agree completely. I love to say, in exoplanets, anything is possible within the laws of physics and chemistry.
And getting on to the whole question of finding evidence of life, you mentioned briefly in the article that the James Webb Space Telescope might be able to, in the not-too-distant future, find evidence of life on a super-Earth. It has to be transiting, and we can try to look for the starlight passing through the atmosphere of the super-Earth and causing a spectral signature. Is this something that sky and telescope readers should be excited about?
Well, yes and no. It's true that we are planning to use the James Webb Space Telescope to look at atmospheres of super-Earths. In the same way that we've been using the Spitzer Space Telescope and the Hubble Space Telescope to look at atmospheres of transiting hot Jupiters, but it's going to be extremely challenging to investigate the atmospheres of rocky planets with the James Webb Space Telescope. We have to hope for a number of lucky things to happen, that super-Earths in the habitable zone are common enough so that we'll have enough targets around very bright stars, and that, I think I'll just end it at that one, so we just have to be lucky enough that there are a lot of super-Earths so we can find a number of favorable targets, meaning super-Earths orbiting bright stars.
And I guess, eventually all of this points toward a mission I would love to see fly in my lifetime, or even in the not-too-distant future, a terrestrial planet-finding type mission that could not only image planets around nearby stars, but also take their spectra. What's the status of such a mission right now?
Right now, there are no plans to build and launch a terrestrial planet-finder mission. However, the 2010 Decadal Survey put as one of their top science goals, I don't have the exact wording, but as one of their top science goals, the idea of looking for planets that could support life. The Decadal Survey panel also recommended funding for technology development so that a terrestrial planet finder mission could be ready to be put forward by the 2020 Decadal panel. Politics aside, there's a growing group of people, including me, who are extremely excited about the idea of doing a terrestrial planet finder with the James Webb Space Telescope. The James Webb Space Telescope cannot block out the light from the star, which is needed to image the planet. But you could develop, build, and launch an external occulter, a big screen flying in space, tens of thousands of kilometers away from the James Webb that could block out the light from the star, so that only the planet light hits the telescope. And there's a lot of activity underfoot to try our best to make this happen.
And you would say it would be technologically feasible at or near the time that JWST launches?
Well, it would be later. It would probably be a few to 5 years later than the launch of the James Webb that this shelter could launch. But we know what the technical tall poles are, and we're trying to work on those now.
Since I first started reporting on astronomy in the mid-90s, the field of exoplanet research just continues to explode with this breathtaking rate of discoveries. I mean, I can remember in the mid-90s when every new planet discovery was generated by headlines, and now, you know, you have to have big batches of planets or some really interesting or new type of planet to really get much interest in the public, which is a sign of a field that's advanced by leaps and bounds and really matured. Right now we're at about 500 planets around other stars. Where do you see this field being 5 or 10 years from now?
5 or 10 years from now, we'll have over 1,000 planets, maybe more. But it's not just the numbers. Think of quality rather than quantity. Now, the different planet-finding techniques are all pushing down, as we've discussed, they're pushing down to lower and lower masses and to semi-major axes that are intermediate. So I think we'll have a wider variety of planets to discover. I think 10 years from now, we'll have a handful of planets that we call super-Earths or even Earth's inhabitable zones. And I hope that 10 years from now, we will have solid plans and be on our way to building a terrestrial planet finder mission.
I like the way you ended your article. You talk about how in exoplanet research, the best is always yet to come.
Yes, that's so true. That's what keeps us going.
Just final question, was there anything else that I have not asked you that you would like to discuss?
Actually, no, you covered everything very well.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you for participating in our podcast interview.
Thanks for including me today.